This is the Generation Example Podcast.
So over the next couple weeks, guys, we're going to be looking at the miracles, or some miracles in the book of John, right? And what these miracles do is they're just like a scavenger hunt. They're clues, right? Each miracle we look at is one clue leading to the next, and ultimately leading us to Easter, where we see the greatest miracle of all, and where we see God truly revealing himself to us. So I want to encourage you guys that as we get into this series to really look at these miracles. It's going to be neat to see these miracles and how they lead us along a path. But the idea of miracles is kind of weird, because I think the word miracle is kind of loaded, right? I don't think a lot of us understand what miracles even are. We'll say things like, man, it was a miracle I got a date to the prom. Or we'll say things like, man, it was a miracle that I was able to eat all that pizza. Or, man, it was a miracle that my mom didn't catch me sneaking in after curfew, right? We use miracle in real loose terms, but we also use miracle for real serious things. We'll be like, man, that guy who, my friend who was diagnosed with cancer, and then the doctors brought him in for surgery, and the cancer was gone. We're like, wow, that's a miracle, right? And so the word miracle, we either throw it around real loosely or we use it really seriously. And the reason why is because we don't really have a good understanding of what a miracle is. And that's, if you guys got your handouts, that's really your first in, is what is a miracle? What is our definition of a miracle? It's unclear. I mean, I think about miracles. If we knew what a miracle was, and maybe we had a formula for miracles, maybe we could just, you know, I need a miracle, and all I know, I got to pray. I got to, you know, read this verse in the Bible. I got to go to church 5 times, and then I got to tell my mom I love her, and then I'm going to get a miracle, right? That would be awesome, because then we'd know how to get a miracle. At least we'd know what it was. But we don't know what miracles are. It's really unclear. So what we do is we adjust our thinking when it comes to miracles. We lower our expectations. We say, miracles aren't even real. They only happen in Jesus' times. Or we go, miracles are, you know, they're these things that don't really happen these days. Or they're not real big things that happen. They're little things. And we change our definition so that way when something happens, our expectations are lowered and we're not disappointed. Right? And we just kind of pretend like they don't happen, or we think real different. But here's the thing, you guys. What if our whole thought on miracles is just wrong? What if miracles aren't what we thought they were? What if miracles, like a scavenger hunt, really were leading us towards something bigger? And the point in and of itself wasn't the miracle, but it's what it's leading us to. You guys, if you have your Bible, we're going to be in John today, and we're going to be looking at the Gospel of John this whole series. And John is one of my favorite books in the Bible. I think when it comes to the Gospel of John, what you got to know about John is John was like one of Jesus' closest friends. You know, if Jesus had a cell phone, John would have been, you know, on speed dial, or would have been one of his favorites, right? Because John was what we call him, the like really the inner three of Jesus. So when he wrote the Gospel of John, when he wrote about Jesus, he wrote from a level of like deep knowledge with Jesus. I mean, he hung out with Jesus all the time. He was like a close buddy to Jesus. And when he writes not just trying to show us the details of Jesus' life, but he writes like this multi-layered story that really gives us some deep insight into who Jesus was and into what his miracles were all about. And the miracle we're going to look at today is a real, real important miracle. It's one of the few miracles that shows up in every single gospel. If you guys don't know, there's 4 gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? And basically, these 4 accounts of Jesus are the story of Jesus from 4 different people. Right? So it would be like if we saw something amazing, like a big car accident or something, and the police interviewed people, like, what happened? What happened? And they interviewed 4 different people. The stories wouldn't match up exactly. But when you take all 4 stories together, you get a complete picture of the accident. Well, that's what the Gospels are for us, right? As we put them together, we get a complete picture of who Jesus is. And my favorite one to read is John, because John is just an amazing book, and you really get some insight into who Jesus was. And as we read this miracle is the feeding of 5,000. Basically, all these people were gathered around Jesus. Jesus was healing people. He was speaking some amazing stuff. And they all gathered. They were excited to hear what he said. And all of a sudden, it came to be time to eat, and there was no food. And so Jesus is like, well, I'm going to feed everybody. And they're like, well, Jesus, we ain't got no food. And he's like, well, that boy's got some food over there. And so the boy came over, He had like five loaves of bread and a couple of fish. And then Jesus attempted to feed everybody with just the five loaves and the two fish. Let's read. This is John. We're in John chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 10 through 14. Jesus says this. He says, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them. They filled 12 baskets, and with the pieces of the five barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. And after the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who has come into the world." What a great story. Imagine you're at a Super Bowl party, or imagine you're at your friend's house Friday night, and everybody's hanging out, and there's no more pizza, or there's no more chicken wings, or there's no more ice cream, or whatever your favorite food is, right? There's no more, you know, McNasties from McDonald's, right? There's no more whatever, right? And all of a sudden, some dude shows up, and he's like, no, give me that, the McNuggets, and give me the pizza, the leftover pizza. And all of a sudden, he just multiplies it, and there's just food for everybody, and everybody just grubs in. And then afterwards, like the piles of leftover pizza and stuff from the dollar menu at McDonald's is like overflowing. You'd be like, "Dude, who is this guy? This is awesome. I'm going to hang out with this guy more often," right? "This guy has all the food. This is where all the stuff," right? Awesome, right? You would be like oohing and aahing. Somebody probably catch it on their cell phone camera. It'd end up on YouTube, probably get like 10 million hits, right? Spread throughout the whole world. It'd be an amazing thing, right? And you'd be like, "Wherever this guy goes, I want to follow him," right? And so I bet most of us, when we think about that, we're like, "Wow, success. Wow, this was an awesome miracle. People were hungry. Everybody got full. Leftover food. Success, right? Right? Awesome miracle." Well, maybe not. Maybe it's not a success. You see, at this point, we got to think of the miracles as clues again. Remember, we got to think of, you know, what exactly is Jesus trying to do when he has this miracle? Is the point of a miracle to get people going, "Ooh, ah, look at Jesus. He's so awesome." Right? Because look, later on in the text, we read this. Jesus, after all this, he leaves. He takes off. Everybody's oohing and aahing, and he goes to a different part. And then a lot of people, they want to go and find him, right? They just saw this miraculous thing. They're like, "Let's go find Jesus and see if he's going to make more food," right? Right? So this is what he says. It says, this is what the text says. John says, "Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into their boats. They went to Capernaum," which is another place by the sea, "in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side, they asked him, 'Rabbi,'" which means teacher, "'when did you get here?' Jesus answered, 'I tell you the truth,'" here it is right here, "'you are looking for me not because you saw the miraculous sign, because you ate the loaves and you got your fill.'" Right? And so Jesus is kind of harsh with these guys. Right? And it's kind of a hard way to treat your groupies, right? You do this miraculous thing and these people want to follow you. And Jesus is like, no. "You guys aren't following me because, you know, you want me. You're following me because your bellies were full." Right? So in a weird and kind of a weird way, Jesus is saying, "Look, my miracle I did is a failure." And I know you're thinking, "Well, wait a minute, I thought he fed all these people. I thought he did all this great things." He did, but his miracle did not have the intended purpose it was supposed to. That wasn't the point. The point wasn't to feed people's souls or to feed people's stomach. The point was to feed people's souls. The point wasn't that a bunch of hungry people got fed and now they're all happy, right? The point was it was supposed to be a clue pointing to something bigger. I love this. Later on, Jesus says this. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." So this is the awesome thing. Here's Jesus feeding all these people bread. They're all excited because they got full stomachs. Right? And so they want to follow him around. But Jesus is like, "Look, guys, you missed the point entirely on this miracle. The point is me. I did this miracle so that you guys would see me. I am the bread of life. I am the one that's going to fill you. Don't look to bread to fill you. I will fill you." And so here's the thing about miracles. Miracles, and this is in your handout if you guys are following along. Miracles, right, are clues to something bigger. Miracles are clues to something bigger. And here's the thing. Miracles are only fully good and only fully accomplish their plans when they point to God. A miracle that doesn't point to God is a failure, no matter how spectacular it is. Well, what are we supposed to learn from this? I think sometimes we may be like the crowd, right? We may be looking for the ooh and ah moment and be missing what exactly God is doing in our lives. You know, we look at this crowd and they saw the miracle of the feeding, they saw the miracle of the food, but they missed who was behind it. They missed what was actually going on. They missed seeing God. And here's the thing, God doesn't do miracles as standalone things. It's not like God is just trying to do these standalone miracles and he's trying to make these great things happen. He's trying to make these big events. God is not in the show business. He's not about making a show. God is not like David Blaine or Chris Angel trying to do these spectacular things so everybody oohs and ahs. God is not trying to get 1 million hits on YouTube. God is not trying to post everything on Facebook and get 100 likes. That's not why God does stuff. He's not trying to get this huge reaction. But he's trying to send a message that points people to God. And no matter if the miracle is big or small, if it's pointing people to God, if it's pointing people to the fact that God was involved, that God cares about you, that God cares about the world, then it's accomplished its purpose. And I think sometimes we get so caught up in the oohing and the aahing, we miss completely that God is working in our lives. Right? Because we're looking for the big miracle. We're looking for the resurrection from the dead. We're looking for the guy who, gets shot and survived. We're looking for something to fall out of the sky. We're looking for these big things. But we don't know that, you know what? Passing your geometry test can be a miracle if it points you to God. Not getting in an argument with mom and dad can be a miracle if it reveals to you how good God is. Anything, big or small, can be a miracle if it's pointing you to God. And that's what I want us to learn today. And what I want us to do today is I really want you guys to take some time and begin to think, what are those things in your life that you really need God to show up on? Right? It could be a family thing. It could be a school thing. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're struggling if God even exists. And you're like, this is all good, Daniel, whatever, but I don't even believe God exists. Maybe that's the thing you need to take. Right? And for the next 3 days, every single day, I want you to ask God, God, show me. God, do this for me. Right? And then don't just ask, but begin in your life to listen. Say, God, hey, I'm listening. I want to hear you. I want to see what you're doing. I want you to respond to me. Right? And begin to allow him to speak into your life. Because when you do this, you're doing an awesome thing. Because I think for a lot of us, Christianity starts out as just rules. All right, don't have sex, don't drink, don't go to parties. Don't say the F word, don't say the S word, don't say the B word. I can say this one, but not, right? Isn't that kind of how it is sometimes, right? We have these rules. But when you begin to speak to God, talk to him, and then listen for his response, and then hear him, you've just blown the whole rule things out of the water. And you begin to see that God doesn't want to just give you a rule book. He wants to have a relationship with you. And anytime we can begin to be more sensitive about God working in our life, that is a good thing. Because we begin to enter that relationship with God, we begin to see him working in our lives and speaking to us, which is awesome. The first time God speaks to you, first it will scare you, right? Because all of a sudden God becomes real. And if God's real, then there's a lot of consequences. There's a lot of things that have to change if God is real, right? But the second thing, you're just like, man, this is awesome. The God who created everything wants to speak to me. That's an amazing thing. It's truth. The God who did create everything wants a relationship with every single person in this room. And he's got a plan and he's got a purpose for you. Right? But it begins by having that relationship with him. So here's the question I want to leave with you guys. Are you missing it? Are we too busy looking for the big miracle that we're missing God working in our lives? I think when we begin to start paying attention to what God is doing, you would be surprised as to how involved in your life God actually is when you start paying attention. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to hear from your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have revealed yourself to us, Lord, in so many different ways, whether it's through the Bible, Lord, whether it's through relationships, Lord, whether it's through just events in our lives, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to reveal yourself to us, Lord, that you'd continue to show us, Lord, who you are and the plan for our lives, Lord. I pray for all the concerns that are represented in this room, Lord. There are some people in here, Lord, with deep hurts, whether it be from family or relationships, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you would help them, Lord. There's others in here that are struggling, Lord, with just saying no to bad stuff, Lord, whether it's parting with their friends, Lord, or doing things they know is against your will and against your ways, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you would pour out your love and your mercy on them, Lord, and you'd begin to help them understand the importance, Lord, of having a relationship with you, Lord. So we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name.
This was another Generation Example podcast. For additional podcasts, community, and resources to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ, visit generationexample.org.